بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحج حج محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة دلالة وكل دلالة في النار. As the first lecture of the series of introduction to the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As most of you know that the Sunnah is the second source of the Sharia, the second source of the Islamic law. And many of the Salaf, many of the previous scholars, they wrote that the Sunnah plays a more important role than the Quran. And the understanding of this statement is that within the Sunnah you find the Quran. If you take the whole of the Sunnah, the whole of the Ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, within that you would find the Quran. The many ayat of the Quran and the explanations of the Quran are within the Sunnah. As for the opposite, if you look into the Quran, you will not find the Sunnah. So this is the correct understanding of the statement which many of the scholars made, that the Quran is more in need of the Sunnah than the Sunnah is in need of the Quran. And you have to understand the correct understanding of this, not to say that the Sunnah is more important than the Quran. But the Sunnah entails the Quran, whereas the Quran does not entail any of the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though the Quran does give explicit reference to returning to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and turning to his ahadith, to his statements, and to the various sunnahs that he has laid down. And we find that unfortunately, the sunnah has taken on two types of connotations. Those people who like to mock or al-istihza bi sunnah, who like to look down upon the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and always mention this is only sunnah and it's not too important. As many of the ulama have written, al-istihza bi sunnah is kufr. To mock the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is kufr. Can take you out of the fold of al-Islam if you have knowledge that what you are saying about the sunnah, you are mocking the sunnah, you are making a joke of the sunnah, then it can take you out of the fold of al-Islam. So you find, and also on the other side we find that people have gone to such an extreme understanding of the sunnah that they have made allegiance upon certain acts of sunnah. I repeat the word sunnah. Certain aspects of the sunnah have become points of allegiance. For example, jalsatul istiraha, any sitting between the two rak'ah. Sitting between the two rak'ah is a sunnah, which is valid from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but people have made this as a point of allegiance. Whoever does this is from the people of the sunnah. Whoever does not do this, then he is an innovator. Same thing with placing your hands back on your chest after ruku. If you do the sunnah, you are the one who is upholding the stronger sunnah. But remember the word as-sunnah. It is a sunnah. So to take it out of context and say that this is a point of allegiance, this is the other extreme. That we find that many people, to show, to make it a shi'ar, to make it a symbol, that we are different from everyone else, we are holding firmer to the other people and stronger upon the sunnah, they have taken these aspects of the sunnah as symbolic terms. If you do it, you are a part of them. If you don't, you are looked down upon. And we find that the sunnah, the people who make evidence against this Or for this, they base the evidence upon the Kitab al-Sunnah. So for people to write that their evidence has no basis is incorrect. If a certain scholar makes ijtihad and finds that it is not acceptable to place your hands back on your chest, then that is his ijtihad. As for a person, an alim, who strives and says this is from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And you are free to take whichever opinion that you feel is the more stronger opinion. But to make it as a point of allegiance, to make a whole group, to make a whole understanding upon certain aspects of the sunnah, then this is also going against the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also we find that the sunnah in today's time has become mere quotations and academics. It is mere quotations and academics that this is from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that this hadith is kaza or da'if or maudu, and this hadith has been interpreted in this form and fashion. Forgetting the whole aspect of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what should develop with the understanding and the learning and the implementation of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Is it mere rhetoric? Is it mere just speech to say that this is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and there is no reformation in our character and our behavior and us getting closer to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And some people have even gone to the extent that every hadith and every sunnah has to be interpreted through the intellect, one's rationale. If the hadith does not conform to my rationale, then that hadith has some weakness. And this is the way of the Mu'tazila, the rationalistic approach, where they judged every hadith according to the intellect. If they could not understand the hadith, they would write that this hadith, even if it's in Bukhari and Muslim, this hadith is fabricated. This hadith is unacceptable. The chain is accepted, but as for the matan, as for the actual text, it's unacceptable. Because it does not comply with science, it does not comply with our intellect. And there are many famous ulama, like who passed away a few years ago, Muhammad al-Ghazali, who had this approach with a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For example, the famous hadith that when a fly falls into your drink, and then you should dip it, because verily in one wing is the disease and in the other wing is the cure. Now this sheikh, he refused to accept this hadith because at that time this discovery was not made, that in the mosquito or in the fly, in one wing is the disease and in the other wing is the cure. So he would reject this hadith. He rejected this hadith purely on his rationale. As for the believer, sami'na wa ata'na, we hear and we obey. This is the rationale of the true salaf, of the way of the companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'een. And then we also find that some people have become taking the sunnah, and that is all that they preach. There is nothing else in their life except for the sunnah, or certain aspects of the sunnah. What you should wear, how you should wear your turban, how you should wear your thawb, what color it should be, how long your miswak should be, to this extent. That is their whole life. We're not denying the importance of the sunnah, but that has become their whole life, that this is all that they preach to. The sunnah entails much more. And the finality of the sunnah means at the end of the day, the governance of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what the final sunnah should be. And after preaching all these sunnahs and the implementation of all of these sunnahs, the governance of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be predominant on the earth. This is the final sunnah that every Muslim is striving for. And so we find that via this understanding of the sunnah, we find that certain people refuse to give another person a salam. Certain people begin to speak ill of another person. And that's when we begin to reflect on basic ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, let him speak good or stay quiet. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Man does not say any word, utter any word, except for that there is an angel writing down every single word. So if we do not have good to say about anyone, or don't have ilm about anyone, then we should refrain. This is the hadith is a basic hadith. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, let him speak good or remain silent. And we should try to understand that who brought this sunnah? None other than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we should emulate and copy him. Because the sending of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is one of the greatest blessings upon this ummah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. لقد من الله على المؤمنين. Allah has conferred a great blessing upon the believers. إذ بعث فيهم, that He sent from amongst them a messenger. من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته, and He recites the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ويزكيهم, and He purifies them. ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة, and He teaches them the book and wisdom. And many of the ulama have explained al-hikmah is the sunnah. As Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi stated, that al-hikmah is none other than the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي دَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And verily, mankind was in manifest error. And all of us were in error until the sending of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then we realized what is the sunnah and how we should carry out through our lives. And on this topic will be a whole, a lecture of the four basic principles of the sending of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The recitation of the verses of Allah to teach people, to teach mankind the book of Allah, teaching them the wisdom, teaching them the sunnah, and to making the people pure, at-tazkiyah. And we find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had the great love for the believers and their guidance. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Verily a messenger has come from amongst yourselves. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. And it grieves him to see you in a state of not being guided. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Especially for the believers, رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And he is the one who is merciful and full of pity towards the believers. This is the characteristic of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As he stated in the hadith, and my example is like a man who's standing on a fire, and there's mosquitoes and flies that are rushing towards this fire, and I'm trying to stop them, but yet the mosquitoes and the flies, they continue to go and they enter into the fire, and the fire is Jahannam, the fire is the hellfire, and I am that man who is trying to stop mankind from going into the hellfire by preaching to them and stopping them, by preaching to them to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the belief in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we find that every single prophet was sent to his people. As for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sent to the whole of mankind. As we find Isa alayhi salam, wa rasulan ila bani Israel, that Isa alayhi salam was sent only to the bani Israel. And this is a kadhib. This is a lie from the Nasara, from the Christians, that they claim that Isa alayhi salam came to the whole of mankind. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, وَرَسُولًا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. He is only a messenger to the Bani Israel. And likewise, in another place in the Quran, Allah states that every single prophet was sent to his own people, to his own nation. As for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We do not send you except for as a mercy to the whole of mankind. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. We do not send you except to the whole of mankind as a warner, بَشِيرًا, giving glad tidings, and as a warner, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But the majority of mankind, they do not know. And what else does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala state regarding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Verily in the conduct and the behavior of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a great example. An example for us to emulate. An example for us to copy. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And we have raised your remembrance, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And you are on a splendid, manifest level of character, O Muhammad, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise we find the famous ayah in Surah Ali Imran, وَلِنْ كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to these people, that if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me. Follow me, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as Al-Hassan Al-Basri states, that there were people at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who claimed to love him. So Allah sent down this verse to show them that you do not really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you really do, you'll be following the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as Al-Wahidi in his kitab Asbab al-Nuzul, in the reason for revelation, he states that this verse was sent down to the Christians. Because the Christians claim that their whole aqidah or their belief is love. That they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they love God. So Allah sent down this verse to the Christians at that time, that if you really do love Allah, then you should be following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is what real love is. Not just to say that you love God, which is the aqidah at the moment. Just claim to love God, and that is enough for you. And now touching upon the rank of the sunnah, any for those people who say that it is not a revelation, in these ahadith and these ayat from the Quran will prove that sunnah is nothing less than revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. We have sent you and given you the dhikr that you may explain it. We have given you the dhikr and your task is to explain it. The task of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to explain the Quran. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, establish the prayer throughout the Quran, where is the explanation of the salah? It is not to be found inside the Quran. But as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, pray as you have seen me praying. Likewise al-hajj, how do you know how to perform hajj? خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, take from me the rites of al-hajj. So from here we understand that the main task of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to explain the Quran. The Quran just lays down basic principles, and the sunnah explains the Quran. Likewise, وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He does not speak of his own desires. Everything that he speaks is nothing less but revelation. Everything that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks is nothing but revelation. And many times when the scribes, when the companions are writing down the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some people would say to them, don't write because maybe he's in a state of happiness or he's in a state of being angry. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, carry on writing, because nothing comes from my lips except for the truth, except for revelation, أو كما قال sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or paraphrasing the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's times where he stated that he was only talking about أمور الدنيا, the things related to the world. For example, the famous hadith of the pollination of the date palm tree, where when he entered Medina and he told him to plant the date seeds in a different manner to what they used to do. And they took this thinking this was revelation. And the dates did not ripen. And then they complained to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, if I mention to you anything regarding deen, then take it from me. As for the dunya, then you know better than me. As for the umur dunya, you know better than me the regulations of plantation, etc., then you have more knowledge than me. As for something from the deen, then it is nothing but revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise we find in Surah Al-Hashr, the 59th surah, the 7th verse, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. And there is no more explicit proof than this. Whatever the Prophet tells you to take, take it. Whatever he tells you to abstain from, then abstain from it. And if you read the tafsir of this verse, that you find that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhuma, he mentioned in a khutbah that Allah has cursed those people, the women who tattoo their bodies, who pluck their eyebrows, and who separate their teeth to beautify themselves. And they are the ones that change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A woman by the name of Ya'qub, and she came to him and said, how can you curse these women? And he said, why should I not curse those whom the Prophet cursed and are cursed in the book of Allah? How can I not curse these women when they have been cursed by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they have been cursed in the book of Allah? Ya'qub said that I have read the book of Allah, I have read the Quran. I do not find this verse in the Quran where Allah says that a woman is not allowed to tattoo herself, not allowed to pluck her eyebrows, not allowed to separate her teeth. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud stated, if you had read this verse, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Take what the messenger tells you to take. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever he tells you to abstain from, then abstain from it. This is the clearest dalil that the hadith has to say is allowed to legislate al-halal wal-haram. The statement of the Prophet, by the permission of Allah, entails something, making something halal and making something haram. And al-aklul, the lahm of the donkey, lahmul himar, is not mentioned inside the Quran that it's haram. It's mentioned inside the hadith. So this will prove that this is, the hadith has a right to make legislation. Hadith has a right to make legislation. So we find now some ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I've left among you two things, and you'll never go astray as long as you hold fast to them. Kitabullah wa sunnati, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and my sunnah. Likewise, I have been given the Quran and something like unto it. And this is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stating, I've been given the Quran and something like the Quran. And likewise, a famous hadith, alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatul khulafai rashidin al-mahdiyin. عَدُّ عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. And it is upon you to follow my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs. عَدُّ عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. And hold fast to the sunnah of the righteous guided caliphs by your molar teeth. And in the beginning of the hadith he stated, عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي. Upon you to follow my sunnah, the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So after this we want to touch upon some of the fundamental rights of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we may begin to understand the greater understanding of the importance of the sunnah or the authority of the sunnah in our daily lives. Obviously the first understanding or the first fundamental right of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to believe in him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالنُّورِ الَّذِي أَنزَلْنَا وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. In his 64th surah, verse number 8. And believe in Allah and His Messenger and the light that we have sent. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. And Allah is all aware of what you do. And likewise for those people who do not believe in the Messenger, in the Prophet of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَإِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ سَعِيرًا. Whoever does not believe in Allah and the Messenger of Allah, فَإِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ سَعِيرًا. And we are prepared for the disbelievers, سَعِيرًا, the blazing hellfire. For those people who do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we find that even today, there are many amongst the disbelievers, many amongst the non-Muslims who know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is haq, but yet they refuse to acknowledge him as the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Allah stated in the Quran, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِّنْهُمْ لَيَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقَّ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Those people who have been given the book, يَعْرِفُونَهُ, they know him, كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ, as they know their own children. يعني النصارى واليهود, they knew the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even when he came, they knew that he was al-haq. But they disbelieved in him, and they rejected him. وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِّنْهُمْ, and verily a group from amongst them, لَيَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقَّ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. They conceal this within themselves, and yet they know this is the truth. So even today we find that many amongst the non-Muslims, they know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final Prophet, and we should believe in him. Yet they fail to pronounce this, and yet they fail to tell the people the truth regarding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we find, you need the second right, the right of obedience. And a whole lecture can be done upon the obedience of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ayat after ayat in the Quran, mention of obedience, of listening to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Look at the magnitude of this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, whoever obeys the messenger, obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah put the messenger first in this ayah, and then said, whoever obeys the messenger, obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we find قُلْ أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا, and if you turn away, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah does not love or like the disbelievers. وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, that you may receive some mercy. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. O you who believe, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger, and those people of authority. And here the ulama have mentioned that people of authority can mean two things. It can either mean those people who are ruling, the governors of al-Islam, or it can mean the scholars. And here if you look closely to this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. He did not say obey his Messenger. He clearly defined to obey the Messenger, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ulil amri minkum, and those people of authority amongst you. The people of authority, not the person of authority. The Prophet is being mentioned in the singular. You only obey the Prophet. And as for the people of authority, the scholars or the people who are governing, then they can be many. You do not have to give allegiance to any of them. There is no obedience to that which entails the disobedience of the Creator. Whether it's a scholar or whether it's a ruler, there is no obedience to such people who disobey or who give rulings against the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, we find فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and establish the prayer and give the zakah and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger if you are believers. إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Obey the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise in a hadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, all of my community will enter paradise. All of the Muslim ummah will enter paradise, except for those who refuse. Whoever obeys me will enter the garden, and enter al-Jannah. Whoever rebels or disobeys me has refused. Yani your refusal to enter the Jannah means that you disobey the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have distanced yourself from the Jannah, from the paradise, by disobeying the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise we find strong ayat from the Quran. يَوْمَ يُقَلَّبُ وُجُوءُهُمْ فِي النَّارِ يَقُولُونَ يَا لَيْتَنَا أَتَعْنَا اللَّهُ وَأَتَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ. Yani the day when their faces will be brought in front of the fire, and they will say, woe upon us, if only we had obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeyed His Messenger. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. Whoever disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا, and he has gone on a clear manifest error, and he has gone beyond misguidance. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Whoever disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ, for him is the fire of hell, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا, and he will reside in the hellfire forever. And the greatest ayah to prove whoever contends with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah An-Nisa verse 115, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّيهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Whoever contends with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى, after guidance has been shown to him, مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and follows a path other than the way of the believers. And the believers are none other than the companions. نُوَلِّيهِ مَا تَوَلَّى, we shall leave him upon that which he has taken. وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا, and we should throw him into the hellfire, and what an evil abode. This is the clearest verse showing that those people who contend with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that their abode is nothing less but than the hellfire. And likewise we find, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself stating, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever turns away from my sunnah, then he is not from me. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. And if you read the complete hadith, it's regarding the three people who came to the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquiring about his worship. And then they said that, where are we from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? One of them said, as for me, I will pray and I will pray all night. The second one said that I will fast and I will fast every single day. The third one said that I will not marry and have no relationship with women. And when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came home, and he said, are you the people who said such and such? As for me, I pray and then I rest part of the night. I fast and I break my fast. I marry and I have relationships with women. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever turns away from my sunnah is not from amongst me. Showing the other extreme, to take the sunnah to such a level where you cut yourself from the dunya, then this is not from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we find another right of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-ittiba, following of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we mentioned the verse previously, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the people, if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow me. And he followed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise in Surah Al-A'raf, فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ النَّبِيِّ الْأُمِّيِّ الَّذِي يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَكَلِمَاتِهِ وَاتَّبَعُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَحْتَدُونَ. Jazakallahu khair. And believe in Allah and His Messenger, yani the illiterate messenger who believes in Allah and His words. وَاتَّبَعُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَحْتَدُونَ. Follow Him. Follow Him. Make ittiba' of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that you may be guided. Likewise, you find that in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to the companions, الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولِ. Those people who follow the messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, النبي, the prophet, الأمي, the illiterate, الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. Who they find written down in the Torah and the Injil. Yani the companions were making ittiba of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to make ittiba of the Prophet is clear. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. And the conduct and the behavior of the Prophet is a manifest example for us to carry out. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stating this regarding the Prophet. So why should we not make ittiba of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? As in the hadith, when Aisha radiallahu anha was asked regarding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she stated, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. His character was the Qur'an. Meaning whatever the Qur'an says is halal, he would carry that out. Whatever is haram, he would abstain from it. Yani the whole of his life is nothing but a clear example of the Qur'an. And we find that the companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, that when he was alive, they will follow him in all aspects. That you read through many ahadith. If you look at the hadith, as far as I remember, if my memory serves me correct, in Kitabul Iman, and in Sahih al-Bukhari, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, paraphrasing the hadith, and he suddenly stood up and went away from his companions, and he entered a certain garden, via a certain gate. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu followed his footsteps and found that he had entered the garden. And he said to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that tell whoever enters this garden, tell them that I give them, and they believe in Allah and the Messenger, tell them that I give him the glad tidings of Al Paradise. So Abu Huraira said that let me guard this gate. And lo and behold, the first person to come was none other than Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Because he was always with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he came to the gate, followed the footsteps, and he came to the gate. And Abu Huraira, and he asked, man, who is it there? And he said, it's Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. So he went back and told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, and let him enter and give him the glad tidings of paradise. So when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq entered, The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was resting in the well with his thawb or his garment lifted up, enjoying the cool breeze of the well. Abu Bakr sat next to him and did likewise. Umar radiallahu anhu came and he done likewise. Uthman came and done likewise. Yani copying the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in everything that he done when he was alive. And we find that a Yahudi, a Jew, came to Salman al-Farisi, Salman the Persian, and he said to him that your Prophet teaches you everything. And making a mockery or a joke, he said he even teaches you how to defecate, how to go to the toilet. And Salman al-Farisi said, yes, he does. He told us not to face the Qibla. He told us to cover ourselves properly. He told us to use a certain amount of stones. So every single aspect, yani the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained it, and the companions were strong to stick to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The way that the Prophet would walk, the way that he would talk, where he would sit. And some of the companions went to such an extent that where the Prophet would urinate, they would go and urinate in the same spot. They would sit in the same tree where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat down. And as Abdullah ibn Umar states, that once he was just walking and he turned around his she camel. And people asked him, why did you just turn your she camel for no reason? He said, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turn his she camel in this location, so I turned my camel. I don't know why he turned it, but I turned my camel. Likewise, Umar radiallahu an, he went to the black stone, to Al-Hajr al-Aswad. He said, you are nothing but a stone. But the only reason I kissed you is because I saw that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam kissed you. You're nothing but a stone. It doesn't mean much to me, but because the Prophet kissed you, then I'm going to kiss you. This is the holding fast of the companions to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they did not take any, as some people have taken, these acts as a form of tabarruk, a form of blessing. That people began to collect the mud and the sand of Al-Hijaz and put it in their pockets and bring it back and say, this is the blessed sand or the desert of Medina. Yani the understanding that the companions had is different from the way these people are understanding. They done it out of their extreme love. They never claimed to the people that you have to imitate our love by sitting at the same place where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat. That people began to take yani the tree we use for the miswak and began to take it as a form of worship. When Umar then had to uproot all of these trees to stop this bidah from spreading. So some people have done ghulu, excessiveness, by taking certain aspects of the sunnah and going beyond all bounds and saying that they are showing love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what needs to be pointed out here is that we like to only imply certain actions that we like or we feel comfortable with. That this is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How about his statements and actions that he actually carried out? Did he not forgive the whole of the Quraysh on the day he entered Makkah? La tathriba alaykumul yawm. The words of Yusuf alayhi salam. That there is no harm upon you from me today. The same words that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said when he entered Makkah. As for us, we forgive no one. We forgive no one. This is against the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can we claim to love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And yet hold hatred for our brothers. Did he not forgive the whole of the Quraysh? Did he not forgive Hind, who ate the liver of his uncle Hamza, radiallahu an? Did he not forgive the whole of the Quraysh, who slaughtered his companions, who shed his blood, who broke his tooth? This is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we fail to understand. We like to cling to the sunnah which is attractive to us. As for the sunnah of forgiving your brethren, for forgiving the Muslims, then this is a sunnah that we are far away from. The person who is speaking and the person who is sitting here, the majority of the Muslim ummah is far away from the act of forgiving their Muslim brothers. And likewise, being generous. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was generous even at the time of poverty. And yet we are bukhala. We are the most stingy of people. The most stingy of people to donate to any cause, whether it be Philistine, Ashishan, Al-Kashmir, 101 questions. Who are these people and why should we give our money to them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never stated in the Quran. He just said, لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, for the poor people, for the destitute people. He didn't say to you, verify these people, to check what type of people they are. He just said, give the money to them, to help these people, to aid these people. This is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we find another right of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hubbun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the Arab poet said, Kullu wahid yadda'i hubbul layla. Everyone claims to love Layla, but Layla does not love anyone. Likewise, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everybody claims to love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but on that day, he will say to many people, be aware, go away from me. When the day when we will meet him on Al-Kawthar, meet him at the fountain, and Jibreel alayhi salam will be pushing many people from this nation away, and he will be saying, Ummati, Ummati, my nation, my nation. And Jibreel alayhi salam will say, you do not know what they've done after you. The bid'at wa khurafat, the innovations and the misguidance that they spread in your ummah. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, be off, take them away from me. And we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid the immense love that we should have for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اِقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to these people, إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ, that your parents, وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ, your children, وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ, your brothers, وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ, your spouses, وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ, your family, and the money that you have collected, your business, and your dwellings, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger, وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ, and to fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ, then wait until Allah brings about His punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly stated in this verse, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ, these things, these dunya, this economic welfare, the love of parents and children and houses and everything is more beloved to you than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. More beloved to you than Allah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to strive in his cause. وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. Clearly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ, and to strive in his path. فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ, then wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about his punishment. And likewise in the hadith in Bukhari, فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, I swear by him whose hand my soul is in, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ, and none of you truly believes, حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَالِدِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ, until I become more beloved to him than his parents and his own children. And in another hadith, none of you truly believes until I become more beloved to him than his parents, than his children, وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ, and the whole of mankind. Nothing is more beloved to you than Allah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Umar radiallahu anhu, when he heard this hadith, he said, I love you, I love Allah and you more than anything except for my own self. إِلَّا بِنَفْسِي. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that you need to believe in me, حَتَّى أَكُونَ حَبَّ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ نَفْسِكَ, I'm more beloved to you than your own self. And Umar then stated right on the spot, you are Allah and you are more beloved to me even than my own self. And that is when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, Al-An Umar, now you have believed that you love Allah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than your parents, more than your children, more than the whole of mankind, and more than your own nafs, more than your own self. And this is the interpretation of the verse, النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ, that the messenger is first most for the believers than مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ, than their own selves. That they would step forth and look to see where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, and to seek his protection, to protect him. Read through the seerah of the ghazawat of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the companions would always question, where is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Even the women would question, where is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not worry about their own selves and their own children, but where is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And we find that this love should be in line with the Sharia, because some people have taken this love and have exceeded the limits. And we can see how love at times blinds. Because even Umar radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lifted from this earth, and he said that if anybody says that the Prophet has died, then I will kill him. Because of his emotions and his love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was not until Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came and he lifted the shroud from the face of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, how beautiful your face is. Just as beautiful as when you were alive and now that you have been taken. And he kissed him on his forehead. And then he turned around and he said these famous words. He mentioned some ayat from the Quran, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتْ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ, that really you will die and they will die. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is nothing but a messenger. He's not the father of any of the mankind from amongst you, and he's only the final messenger. And if he is to be killed or if he is to be hurt, are you going to turn back upon your ankles and leave the faith of Al-Islam? And then he mentioned this famous statement, which should be written with ink of gold, where he stated, "Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan, فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ مَاتْ. Whoever used to worship Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Muhammad has died. And whoever worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّ اللَّهُ حَيْ لَا يَمُوتْ. Allah is ever living, the eternal. We are not Muhammadans. We make ittiba' of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are not Muhammadans. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we follow the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our worship. And this ghulu, meaning this excessiveness, is nothing but dinun nasara. It's the religion of the Christians which has crept into the ranks of the Muslims. And we find many of the Sufiya, as Al-Busri, he wrote his Burda, he wrote his famous poetry, talking about untold blasphemy against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you know everything, the eternal, the hidden, the external, everything. If was it for not for you, then the earth would have not been created. This is nothing but kufr. Kufr after kufr, attributing this to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise Allah stated, Ya Ahlul Kitab, La taglu fi dinikum. O Christians, O people of the book, Al-Yahud wa Nasara, do not excess in deen. There is no excessiveness in religion. This is the same principle which has crept into the deen of the Muslims. That this excessive praise of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to make him equal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you find some people, they say, just believe or just mention the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you will be saved. This is nothing but deenun nasara. Ask any Christian. This is the belief of a Christian. Just mention the name of thy father. Mention the name of thy Lord. Mention the name of Jesus and you will be saved. What else is this? Just say the name Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you will be saved. He will intercede for you on the day of judgment. This aqidah is batila. It's false. What makes us different from the Nasara now? What makes us different from the Christians? The Christians have this belief, and if we Muslims claim to have this belief, we are not making nothing but tashbih of the Nasara, imitating the Christians. And likewise, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, Iyakum wal ghulu fid din. And he refrained from excessive praise. In another hadith he stated, do not praise me excessively, do not flatter me, as the Christians done to Isa ibn Maryam, by raising him from the rank of being a prophet to being the son of Allah. But I am the servant of Allah wa rasuluhu, and I am his messenger. That is my rank. That is the rank of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then we find, the respect of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states inside the Quran, إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُعَذِّرُوهُ وَتُوَقِّرُوهُ. That we have sent you nothing else but as a witness. وَمُبَشِّرًا, to give glad tidings, وَنَذِيرًا, and as a warner. لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, to believe in Allah and His Messenger. وَتُعَذِّرُوهُ, and to protect Him. وَتُوَقِّرُوهُ, and to respect Him. In respect of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, the beginning of Surah Al-Hujarat. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِي وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. All you who believe, do not step in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning, do not go beyond his rulings, beyond his statements, beyond his ahadith. And likewise, we find that Allah then carries on saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. All you who believe, do not raise your voice above the voice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't raise your voice above the voice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what does this mean in today's time? That somebody is mentioning a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you wash them out of the conversation. And the person is mentioning hadith. The person is mentioning a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let the person finish. Listen to the hadith and then say what you want to say. This is the implementation of this verse in today's time. Don't raise your voice above the voice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't raise your voice above his hadith. That certain ulama like Imam Malik, they would say that I would only mention the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when I was in a state of tahara, impurity, and wearing a nice new thawb, and placing perfume upon myself, and then I would have respect and mention the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for today, the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is nothing important. It is only a sunnah. It's only a hadith. It doesn't mean anything. It's not very important. But the hadith means this. Man qal ma'na al-hadith kaza wa kaza. Who said that the hadith means this? Your intellect. Who are you to judge that the hadith means this? And this hadith, I don't understand this hadith. The believers are the ones that say, سَمِعْنَا وَعَطَعْنَا, that we hear and we obey. We do not have to know the hikmah of every single hadith and the ayat. This is the way of some people, that we don't see a hikmah, we don't know. The companions did not know the hikmah of why they had to abstain from lahmul khinzir, why they had to abstain from the meat of the pig. It's only now that we know it's a filthy animal. Did the companion say to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Mal hikmah? What is the wisdom of abstaining from the pig, from the khinzir? The Ahlul Kitab, they love it, they eat it all the time. So why should we abstain from it?" They never asked for the hikmah. Sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey. If the hikmah becomes apparent, alhamdulillah. If the hikmah becomes apparent, that this is the reason, many centuries later, of why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to do certain aspects, alhamdulillah. But first we should be there, running to implement the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we find that respect for people has limits. Respect for people has limits. As for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nothing can precede the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَوْ قَالَ شَيْخْ فُلَانْ وَعَلَّانْ, where the Shaykh so-and-so said so, it cannot precede the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the respect of the Prophet stems beyond him to his companions. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. Allah is pleased with those companions, with the believers who took the pledge underneath the tree. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوعًا. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. Allah did not state this regarding us. This is only regarding the companions. And likewise in the hadith, whoever curses the companions, if one of you was to spend the weight of Uhud in gold, the weight of Mount Uhud, those of you who have seen Al-Uhud in Medina, it's not one mountain, it is a range of mountains. The weight of Uhud in gold, it would not equal one mud, one handful, and another hadith, a half a handful of charity that they gave. We could spend one weight a weight of gold, a mountain weight of gold, it would not equal one handful of charity that the companions gave. So the respect of the Prophet stems down to his family and to the companions radiallahu anhum ajma'een. And we find at times that some people, they like to make a joke of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As Allah states, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُودُ وَنَلْعَبُ. That if you ask them, they would say, إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُودُ وَنَلْعَبُ. We were just passing time and making jokes. قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَحْزِئُونَ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were you making joke of the verses of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا. Don't bring no excuses. قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. You have disbelieved after your iman. Don't bring no excuses. Those people who mock the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam today, who mock the beard, who mock the thawb, who mock the women who wear the niqab. If you do not want to implement the sunnah, that is your personal interest. That lies between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for you to mock the sunnah, you are making a mockery and a joke of ayat, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا تعتذروا. Don't bring no excuse. قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. You have disbelieved after your iman. So those people who go and promote and say that the sunnah is petty, if the sunnah is so petty, why can you not implement this petty sunnah? Yet you want to uphold the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you uphold the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a sunnah that you see as petty? You cannot implement that on your 5-foot-6-inch body. And you want to govern the laws, the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a warning to those people who mock the sunnah, to abstain from mocking the sunnah. As for a person who does not implement the sunnah, and many of us have this weakness, then there is always scope that sometime in the future that we will adopt the sunnah. At least we are not mocking the sunnah. But maybe a weakness in our iman, which we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in this iman, so we may adopt the sunnah that we are lacking in adopting in our lives. And then we find, in one of the greatest principles or the rights of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his judgment. The judgment of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not just to take his judgment, but to be pleased with his judgment. Whatever he states, to be pleased with that judgment. Yani many of the ulama have stated, even if you see, for example, you never ever commit zina in your life. You never ever commit zina in your life. But in your heart you find this feeling towards it, then that is a sin as well. Because you're saying, you're questioning, why is it being made haram? You don't do it. You never done it in your life, but you're saying, why is it being made haram? You are questioning the sharia. You are questioning the legislation. That is kufr as well. That is kufr to question it, even though you don't carry out the act. As for the person who may carry out a zina, na'udhu billah min zalik. If you ask him, he'll still say to you, yes, it's haram. I admit it's haram. I carried out the sin. He's not denying the sin. He's admitting the sin. And there's people who do not carry out the sin, but yet question the authenticity of these sins. And then we find that the hukum, which has become such a big taboo at the moment, that if you mention the sharia, you mention that you're talking about the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are labeled as some form of deviant. There is no deviancy in talking about the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The final goal is to govern by the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people in Afghanistan are trying to implement what? There is no ikhtilaf over zina. There is no ikhtilaf over a person who steals, over shurbul khamr, over a person who drinks alcohol, a person who commits homosexuality. There is no ikhtilaf amongst the ulama. There may be some forms of how the punishment should be implemented. But as for the general sharia is one. And yet people throw labels against these people and they are barbaric. They don't know what they're doing. The final goal of the sharia is to implement the sharia. The coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to make Islam prevail over all religions. and to judge by the rulings of Al-Islam. So those people who say that why are you mentioning the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then we say to them, what is your final goal? What is your final goal upon this earth? After preaching the belief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is it not a part of belief that His rulings, His ahkam should be established on the earth? Is it not a part of tawheed that the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be governed upon the earth? What taboo is this? What dalal is this? What misguidance is this? Just because a few people mention it, they are seen as deviants, because they talk about the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to return to the sources, refer to the correct sources, and make judgment even if it be against oneself. Even if the judgment is against oneself, even if it's against one's own group, one's own personal environment. Because this is the way of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولُ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. O you who believe, obey Allah and His Messenger and those people of authority, the scholars or the people who are governing the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ, if you differ in anything amongst yourself, فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, refer it back to Allah, meaning the book of Allah, وَالرَّسُولُ, and the Messenger of Allah. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, if you believe in Allah on the last day, ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَعْوِيلًا, and that is best and the best of interpretations. This is the way of the Muslim. Every single aspect, if you dispute with anyone, refer it back to the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَعَطَعْنَا وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. It is the statement of the believers, إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, that when they are called to Allah and His Messenger, لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ, that He may judge between them. إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَعَطَعْنَا, except for that they say that we hear and we obey, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, and those are the people that are successful. This is the way of the believers, that when they are called to the judgment of Allah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say we hear and we obey. And likewise the verse in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 65, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Allah here negates iman. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ, no, nay, never, by your Lord, لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, will they believe, حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ, until they do not take you as a form of judgment, فِيمَا شَجْرَ بَيْنَهُمْ, in the disputes that have taken amongst them, ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ, and then within themselves they find no haraj. They find no question in their heart regarding the hukum of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا, and they accept it open-heartedly and completely. And there is a strong warning against those people who go against the order of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ. And a strong warning goes to those people, الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ, those people who go against his order, أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ, that some trial or tribulation may fall upon them, أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ, or a severe punishment come upon them, those people who go against the order of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise we mentioned the verse, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ, whoever goes against the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, and takes away other than the way of the companions, then we should leave him upon that path, and his abode will be the hellfire. For the words of no man, or of no sheikh, or no imam, is to be given preference over the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Imam Malik said, Yani everybody's words are to be taken and rejected, illa sahibu hadha al-qabr, except for the person in this grave. Pointing to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because as Imam Malik, known as Imam Darul Hijra, the Imam who never ever left Medina except for to perform Hajj. So he sat and he pointed to the grave of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and stated, everybody's statements are to be accepted and rejected except for the person who is inside this grave, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we ourselves who call to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are doing nothing but taqleed ourselves. And then the final right we find, or obviously there's many other rights of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the sending of as-salah and as-salam upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ يُسَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. All you who believe, verily Allah and the Messenger send salam upon the Prophet. All you who believe, صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And you who believe, send salam or send your prayers upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And is in a hadith in At-Tirmidhi, the closest to me are those who said the prayers on me. The closest people to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam are those who sent the salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In another hadith, whoever blesses me once, Allah blesses him with 10 prayers. And what does as-salah mean? Because the word here used is as-salah, which many people may understand, any prayer. Allah does not pray. What it means is that Allah sends salutations or makes mention and praises the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the gathering of the angels. Another tafsir of this is, yani the mercy of Allah descends upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there are three types of as-salah. The first is that of the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we have mentioned, then that of the angels, and that of mankind. As for the salah of the angels, then that is supplication for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for the salah that we make, then this is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to praise the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in front of the angels. And as for as-salam, making taslim on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is asking Allah to preserve him, which is when he was alive, and to protect him, and a greeting. Like we say, as-salamu alaykum. As we find in the hadith, whenever anyone greets me with peace, Allah will return my soul to me so that I can return the greeting. And another hadith, I will hear whoever blesses me at my grave. So if you go to the grave, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hears the person giving the salam to him. And if someone is far away and blesses me, that is also conveyed to me. So those people who say that the only true salam is when you go to the grave of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where do they put this hadith? Salam is conveyed to me wherever you are. The form and manner, Allahu A'lam, whether the angels, they take that salam and they convey it, as some of the mufassirun, as some of the people who explain a hadith, or muhaddithun have written, that the salam is conveyed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam via the angels. And in this verse we don't find no specific time. It's general. Yani sending salam and remembering the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, there are specific times that we find where we have to, or where we should, yani send salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, in as-salah at-tashahud, when we say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad until akhir al-tashahud, that many of the ulama have written that your salah is incomplete if you don't send the durood and the salam upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you don't say this part of your salah is invalid to send the salam upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, we find in another hadith, yani that person is stingy, bakhil, that when my name is mentioned, he does not send salam upon me. That person is stingy when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his name is mentioned, that you do not say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, when you make supplication, the scholars have written book about adab al-du'a, the etiquette of making supplication, that they mentioned that in the start you mention the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you send salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then you mention what your need is. And likewise, when you finish the dua, you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you send salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, after the adhan, whoever says the dua after adhan, then the intercession of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be granted to him. Likewise, on Friday, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated increase in salam, yani on Friday. And likewise, entering and leaving the masjid, where you give the salam to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So finally, we just want to finish by mentioning that the love of the sunnah should bring a dramatic change in a person's life. The way that a person conducts himself, the way that a person behaves with his Lord, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost. And then his relationship with the Prophet, meaning the way that he is adopting the sunnahs of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the way he is behaving towards mankind. But Allah described him as Rahim and Ra'uf, full of mercy and pity. And he was layin, easy going, wasn't hard, wasn't harsh, easy towards the people. And these are sunnahs that we are beginning to lack in our life. As one person wrote, لِكُلِّ فِرْعَوْنِ مُوسَى. For every single Fir'aun there is a Musa. Yani Fir'aun was the biggest tyrannical ruler on the face of this planet. Nobody was like Fir'aun. But yet when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa, he said to him, وَقُولُ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنٍ. Speak to him in good words. And that's why the scholar wrote, لِكُلِّ فِرْعَوْنِ مُوسَى. For every single Fir'aun there is a Musa. No matter how extravagant or rude or the kufr of this ruler or this person may be, then there has to be words of kindness towards this person. Bashiru wala tunafiru, yasiru wala tu'asiru. Give glad tidings and don't push people away. Yasiru wala tu'asiru. Be easy and don't make things hard for the people. And we find that there, at the moment, there is no sense of reconciliation between the brothers and sisters. No sense of reconciliation about how to reconcile our disputes, how to bring about the problems that we are facing, how to iron them out, and what we should do. كل حزب بما لديهم فرحون. Every single group, every single party is rejoicing in what it has. Islam has become their own symbolic form and understanding. Al-Islam is for everyone. It is not controlled by anyone. No one controls Islam. No one has the right to say. No one has the right to say that you should be just doing this and doing that. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to look at the wider scope of the sunnah. We are not saying reject the sunnah and not implement the sunnah, but take the sunnah and spread the sunnah and get the wider understanding of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at da'wah. The only reason that we should be remaining in this country is if we're making da'wah, one of the reasons. But yet we are just arguing and labeling each other amongst ourselves, and the kuffar are just sitting there, nobody's delivering the message to them. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated to Ali that even if one person becomes guided upon your hand, then it's better than the red camel, the red she camel. Because the red camel was a prized a commodity at the time of the Arabs. That if one person becomes guided by you preaching to them, you will receive the ajr of that person praying throughout his life without any decrease in that person's reward. This is what we need to be thinking living in this country as well. Not just holding fast to the sunnah, but spreading the sunnah to these people, so we may claim this ajr on the day of judgment. And we should begin to understand how we can help the Muslims wherever they are in the world at the moment. And with that, I bring this reminder for myself and to you all to a close. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمْ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. بارك الله فيكم.